Good morning and welcome to another edition of Biz Talk. We're glad you joined us this morning. My name is Tony Bush in the studio this morning with Ryan Fulcher. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, Tony. How are you?
Real fine. Ryan's sitting in for Randy this morning. Randy had a busy day this weekend. He has a busy weekend, so he couldn't make it. But welcome aboard, Ryan. Glad to have you here.
Thank you. Got some big shoes to fill today.
Yeah, you do. And our guest this morning is Dan Hurst. Dan is an attorney, the head of litigation section over at Epiphany Law. And we're going to be talking about litigation. We're actually going to demystify the litigation process for you. We're going to try to define it and maybe give you some tips on how to prevent it or deal with it if you become subject to litigation. So stay tuned. We'll be giving out the phone numbers for you in a little bit, and we'll invite you to call in and ask Dan a question about litigation. But first, we'd like to tell you about the SCORE chapter. The SCORE chapter in Appleton, the Fox City SCORE chapter, brings you Biz Talk each weekend. We want this program to be a how-to program for business owners or those who are thinking of going into business. And we bring guests on each weekend who have professional expert advice for you, or we have entrepreneurs who are sharing their story to help inspire you to improve your business, or if you're thinking of starting a business, to go ahead and take that leap. And if you're in business or you are looking to start a business, SCORE is a national organization that offers free mentoring services to those people who are entrepreneurs. And we have areas of expertise in our chapter, including intellectual property, IT, marketing, accounting, strategic planning, cash flow, banking, retail. If you have any needs in any of those areas, contact us at SCORE at foxcities.score.org. Or call us at the Chamber office here in Appleton where our office is. That number is 920-734-7101. In addition to providing free counseling services to our business owners and entrepreneurs, we do put on some seminars that help bring some knowledge to the business community so that you can be more successful. And we're just concluding, this coming Wednesday night is the last session of the Simple Steps program being conducted here in the Appleton area. It's going to be held at the Chamber Building Wednesday, August 13th.
August 13th, yes.
And it's going to start about 5:30, and then that's registration. It goes from 6 till 9. It's $25 a person. This week, we're going to be talking about where do you find the money? How do you fund your business? How do you approach a lending institution if you'd like to take out a loan? So if you're interested in joining us for that session, please go to foxcities.score.org and register, or you can register at the door at 5:30 at 125 North Superior Street here in Appleton. And Ryan, we're going to be doing the Simple Steps again, aren't we?
Yes, we are. We're going to be down in Fond du Lac starting September 17th, those Wednesdays, the 17th, the 24th of September, and then jumping to October 1st, 8th, and the 15th. Really a great program. And like you said, it's five steps, but if you are in business and maybe you want to skip a step, maybe you just want to learn about marketing or something like that, or the last one here in Appleton especially is finding that money. You know, who doesn't want to find some more money in their business? You can always jump into these at any time. So it's a great program.
Yep. And they're all listed on the website.
Right on the website. Yep. At foxcities.score.org.
Yep. $25 a person and very worthwhile. Real quickly, the topics are, the first session is, what does it mean to go into business? We just have a general discussion about, gosh, I've been thinking about it. What's involved in it? The second session is, what kind of business should I structure? Should I be an LLC, a partnership, sole proprietor? How do the taxes work in each of those entities? The third one is social media and marketing. That's your background, Ryan.
Yeah, I was able to do the Appleton one, and it was a great turnout again. Down in Fond du Lac, same thing, same process. So, yeah, it's a great opportunity to learn a little bit of everything.
Yep. And the fourth session is understanding financial statements, the balance sheet, the income statement, the statement of cash flows. We actually go through a case study to walk people through it, and we leave you with a disc of those templates so you can put your business numbers into those templates.
Yep, lots of information, ton of information. Get ready for a lot of paper.
Also on the 17th, we have the Affordable Health Care Act.
Yeah.
That's coming up at the Bordini Center?
Bordini Center, yeah. And just a tremendous amount of information there, as well as a lot of interested people. Mm-hmm. We get a lot of calls, a lot of people interested in learning more about that.
Yep. That's going to start about 8 o'clock on the morning of the 17th at the Bordini Center. It'll go till 11 o'clock. Registration starts at 7:30. The cost for that session is $15. We're bringing back our panel of experts that we used in May. On May 6th, we had the same seminar, but there's been such a request for more information on this topic, we're bringing them back. So if you're interested in learning how to apply the Affordable Health Care Act to your business situation or maybe your family situation, please attend this seminar. It's going to be very helpful and informative on September 17th, and learn more at the foxcities.score.org website. We also want to say thank you to our sponsors who help bring the program to you each weekend. We really appreciate their support of the SCORE chapter and BizTalk. Those sponsors include Fox Communities Credit Union, Albertson Hailing CPAs, Epiphany Law, a business law boutique, and as I mentioned, Dan Hurst is a partner or is a member of that firm this morning. He's going to be our guest. Also, Bank First National is our newest sponsor. We thank them for helping to support the SCORE chapter and our BizTalk program. Also want to thank eBiz Results in Oshkosh. Mike Pulvermacher does a great job. We appreciate the support he gave us in building BizTalkWithScore.com. If you'd like to go out and listen to some previous radio programs, you can go back about 4 years now and listen to those previous programs at BizTalkWithScore.com. And finally, thanks to Jerry Mader and Larry Desch at the Business News for supporting our program and their biweekly periodical, The Business News. If you're in business or thinking of going into business, for $20 a year, you should really subscribe to The Business News because it carries a lot of relevant information that will help you be more successful. With that, we're going to take our first break. We'll be back on the other side. We're going to meet Dan Hurst of Epiphany Law, and you're listening to BizTalk on the voice of the Fox Cities 1150 WHBY. Good morning again, and we're glad you joined us this morning for this edition of BizTalk. Our guest this morning is Dan Hurst, the head of litigation section over at Epiphany Law. We're going to be talking about litigation this morning. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Tony, and good morning, Ryan. Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming to the program this morning. Tell us a little bit about Epiphany Law. They've been a great sponsor of BizTalk and the SCORE chapter. We really appreciate that. And then tell us about you, and you're relatively new to the firm, and what's your practice about?
Okay. Well, Epiphany Law is a firm located here in Appleton, North Lightning Drive, just off of Ballard and Evergreen. A small firm that does things differently. We provide business services, estate planning, and litigation services to businesses and individuals. I joined the firm in March of this year. Have been a practicing trial attorney for about 20 years. Epiphany does things differently and offered me a good opportunity to advance, and that's why I'm at the firm. The purpose today, I guess, of our conversation is to shed a little light on the litigation process. Litigation can be filled with unpleasant surprises, a lot of frustrating delay to the participants, and I'm here to answer some questions and maybe talk a little bit about that so that your listeners walk away maybe with a little better understanding of of litigation.
Yeah, going into business can be a scary proposition, and depending on the type of business, if it's a machine shop or a landscaping business, there's always the possibility of being sued by somebody. And so there are some things that we're going to talk about this morning that maybe some measures we can take to defend ourselves or be prepared or how to handle with it. But first of all, why don't we just try to describe what is litigation? Why would somebody sue somebody? I mean, there's an emotional element to it, but
litigation is by necessity arises out of a dispute between two parties, a business and a customer, two individuals, let's say a breach of contract. Maybe an injury. They cannot work it out amongst themselves, and so they have to resort to the court system. Litigation starts in all cases with a complaint filed with the court, whether it be the small claims court or the circuit court. The complaint would be filed by the plaintiff and lays out the plaintiff's claims against the defendant. The complaint's then served against the defendant, and the defendant then proceeds with an answer and his defenses to the complaint, as well as any counterclaims that the defendant might have to bring back against the plaintiff. At that point, the court takes over, and the scheduling of the litigation process begins through discovery. Discovery is simply a process of finding out. It's a formal process about finding about the other person's claims and or the defendant's defenses. It can be done through written questions called interrogatories. It can be done through document requests. It can be done through depositions.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we were talking about before is the fact that a lot of that is a process. I mean, it's a tremendous process. It's a burden on not only the defendant but also everybody involved in it. And you had mentioned a couple great things, that some of the preliminary things that you've done that you found that could almost eliminate or lessen the chance of this. We're talking a little bit about insurance.
Well, in terms of insurance, a lot of small businesses, especially those that may be operated out of homes or very informally, they may not have the proper insurance. If you have a business, you should consult with an insurance agent and purchase a commercial liability policy or a policy to cover you or that may cover you in the event that you do get sued. You can't simply rely on your homeowner's policy in the event you're sued for a business action, because most homeowner's policies will contain exclusions which will not provide you with coverage, whereas a simple commercial general liability policy may provide you with coverage in the event that you're sued for one of your business activities.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of it's the small businesses. So the small business owners out there that feel they may have a coverage or an umbrella protecting them under a homeowner's policy,
right.
they may be left wide open there. So
they may be completely out of luck in terms of getting any benefit from that policy. The typical commercial general liability policy will provide for, in most cases, a defense paid for by your insurance company to some of these claims that might be brought against you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to set up a business, do all the hard work, go through
right.
Our SCORE five-step, simple steps program, build up an incredible business, and have it all taken away from you overnight.
Exactly. One of the things to plan for is the insurance. What percentage do you think of these claims that go back and forth, Dan, get settled before they even end up in trial?
It's been my experience over the past 20 years that probably 90 to 95% of all pieces of litigation will end up being settled prior to an actual trial taking place. Most of the states, including Wisconsin, have a statute that provides for a dispute resolution that can be ordered by the court. And in most cases, the court does order the parties to participate in dispute resolution. Now, that can take the form of direct negotiation, that is, between the two lawyers involved. It can take the form of mediation, that is, hiring a third-party neutral to meet with the parties individually and as a group in an attempt to come to a mutually agreeable resolution to the situation. It can also take the form of arbitration, which is more of a small or less formal mini-trial. You might appoint and agree upon three neutrals who will essentially hear evidence and look at discovery and then come to a binding decision regarding the dispute.
Okay. Well, good. We're going to take a quick break right now. We'll be back on the other side. We're going to give out the phone numbers at that time, and we invite you to call in with some questions for Dan regarding litigation. And you're listening to BizTalk on the Voice of the Fox Cities 1150 WHBY. And we're We're here this morning with Dan Hurst, who is head of litigation section over at Epiphany Law. We're talking about litigation, and if you're in business today, yeah, it's something you may have to deal with someday, and hopefully not, but if you do have to get into that, hopefully it'll be a constructive process. We just talked a little bit about the process of litigation. If you have a question for Dan this morning and you'd like to learn about the process or any have any questions about litigation, give us a call at 281-1150 here in Appleton, 281-1150. And if you're outside the Appleton area, you can use the TDS Metricom toll-free line. That number is 866-887-1150. Dan, in terms of litigation, what can people do when they're served? I mean, what should they do? It's a numbing experience to be served like that. So what's the next step?
Well, being served with a summons and complaint is unpleasant. It's certainly unraveling. The first thing to do is to contact your attorney. Your attorney is your first source. There are time limits that need to be tended to. For example, most complaints require an answer within 20 days, so you don't want to just put the summons and complaint away and put your head in the sand and pretend it didn't happen. You need to go see your attorney or call an attorney. At that point,
Wait till the 19th day to do it.
And don't wait till the 19th day to do it because
you need time to prepare something.
That is not going to give me time to look over the complaint, talk to you about the facts and events, the dispute leading up to the complaint, and provide a proper answer to the complaint. Oftentimes, a dispute may be resolved just simply by making a few phone calls on the front end. But if you wait until the last minute, that is just going to complicate things.
Mm-hmm. Dan, do you feel like a lot of what you see from complaints is really interpretation? I mean, is that a lot of what you're seeing?
Interpretation
of who's right and who's wrong, I should say. Clarify.
Certainly. A dispute is generally emotional. In the plaintiff's version is the plaintiff's version, and the defendant's version is the defendant's version.
And they're both right.
The defendant and the plaintiff are always both right.
Yep.
As you proceed down the litigation trail through discovery, you generally learn that some of the things that the plaintiff may have said in that complaint are not necessarily true. Some of the things that the defendant may have asserted as defenses are also not necessarily true. The discovery process allows the attorneys to evaluate the objective evidence, that is, the paperwork that might be surrounding the transaction, photographs.
And you mentioned, too, when we were talking about some of the cases that you have, you do a lot with construction.
I do.
And that's my background, too. So it's neat to hear that. And you said a lot of it was change orders and you know, again, interpreting a verbal contract. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, the problems that you run into with verbal contracts?
Well, everything should be in writing. You know, a purchase order signed and agreeing upon the terms, the pricing, construction contract obviously should be in writing, signed by both parties. Change orders, oftentimes, and probably the most frequent litigation I see results from a change or changes made midstream in a project in which there hasn't been a change order executed by the parties. And then, of course, at the end of the project, there's an overage that needs to be dealt with, and one party can't agree as to what the terms were for the change order, and then usually that results in an arbitration or a litigation if the amounts at issue are significant enough.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, it's important to keep good records. If you're in business, contracts, change orders, keep the records because it that's what's really going to prevail in a litigation process.
Absolutely. You know, people will come in and say, but, you know, Mr. Jones told me we agreed at the job site. This was what's going to happen. This is what the charges were going to be. But it's very hard to prove an oral modification of a contract in litigation. The papers, the signed papers and documents are the items of evidence given the most weight for the most part.
If you have a question for Dan this morning, please give us a call at 281-1150 in Appleton, 281-1150. And if you're outside Appleton, you can reach us on a TDS Metrocom toll-free line, 866-887-1150. Dan, in the first segment, we touched a little bit on mediation and litigation and arbitration. Can you tell us a little bit more, redefine the differences of the three? Because there are some pretty significant differences there.
Sure. Mediation is a very useful tool to resolve disputes. There's really two ways that I like to utilize mediation. Mediation can be very effective in avoiding litigation altogether. That is, if two parties have a dispute that appears to be headed into litigation, you can utilize a sort of a pre-litigation mediation. In other words, you know, agree on a neutral mediator, submit the dispute to the mediation, and let the mediator try to get the parties to a mutually agreeable resolution prior to anybody filing a summons and complaint. Very effective, very cost effective, certainly if you can get a dispute settled prior to proceeding to court, you're going to save a lot of money and time. Litigation is very expensive and very time consuming. Most cases will last anywhere from 6 months to a year and a half.
And it can take a business owner's mind and focus off of their business and distract them, because now they're looking at all the litigation going on. They can lose things going on in their business. Mm-hmm. That's a time thing.
Not only the cost of the litigation, but they're taking their eye off of their business.
Right.
Oh, absolutely. It's very, very distracting for a small business owner to have to respond to discovery requests and requests for production of documents, taking hours out of their day, their weekends to find documents that might have been boxed away 6 years ago.
Now, mediation, is that a final decision?
No, mediation is a non-binding process.
Okay.
The parties hope to come to a resolution, but the mediator has no power to say this is the way the case is going to be decided. The parties have to agree to a settlement. Following the
meeting. In writing? Yep. Something in writing?
Yep. At the end of the mediation, if the parties can agree to a settlement, they will enter into a mediation settlement agreement where the terms of the settlement are put in writing and the parties execute the same. And that can be enforceable in court.
That's final.
That's huge.
Then,
yeah.
That's final.
Okay. Then there's the arbitration option.
Arbitration, we run into a lot with construction contracts. There's and contracts in general. There's usually a provision as to how disputes are going to be resolved. Arbitration is often listed as one of the the way the parties will intend to resolve disputes. Arbitration is typically to a panel of three arbitrators. Each party will select one arbitrator. The two arbitrators will work together to agree on a third arbitrator. A date will be set to present the matter to the arbitrators. The arbitrators will hear the party's evidence and testimony and issue a binding decision, which can be enforced.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit more of a mini trial as opposed to a mediation.
And that's binding.
And that is binding.
No appeals.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's expedited quicker than full litigation.
Well, that's an expedited process. It's very cost effective and very time, much less time consuming than actually proceeding through the state's litigation process.
Mm-hmm. There's another avenue, too, we talked about in the pre-show. It's the small claims court.
The small claims court it exists for individuals. small businesses to resolve their disputes that are under $10,000. The small claims court, while it's a court, is much less formal than the circuit court. The rules of evidence don't apply. They're much more lax. The rules of civil procedure are virtually non-existent. Its intent is to allow people to be before a court commissioner without an attorney and to present mm-hmm. their cases in a simple, inexpensive manner.
In terms of suing someone, Dan, if I'm conducting my business as a landscaper or a restaurant or whatever, and I'm going to sue someone, I need to have some grounds to do that. I'm reminded of the program on TV, Badge 714, and Jack Webb was the lead detective, and he'd go up to the client and say, "Just the facts, ma'am, just the facts." You know, I'm dating myself. You guys don't know who that
is. We're lost over here.
Bob knows who it is, though. But anyway, just the facts. So if I'm going to sue someone, I need to be able to demonstrate that I've been damaged somehow. I just can't sue somebody, right?
Well, that's correct. You do need damages to sue. There needs to be a wrong done, and then, of course, there obviously has to be damages to bring a lawsuit.
Mm-hmm. And how do you show damages? What sort of damages would constitute a lawsuit?
Well, it depends on the type of claim you're making. I guess in this context, we're talking with small business owners or people considering pursuing a small business career. Typically, I would see claims for breach of contract, failure to pay an invoice for services rendered or product delivered, and so the damages would be monetary based on a purchase order of some nature, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Bob just passed me a note, but I thought it was Jack Webb was on the phone, but I guess he's not on the phone this morning. Not everybody knows who I'm talking about, but if you're over 55, you probably know, yeah. Bob and I fit that category. Litigation can be, as we've been talking about, can be expensive, it can be time-consuming, and it has to be used judiciously, to use a term. I mean, you just don't jump in there and sue somebody.
No, and in fact, if I meet with a client or a potential client, you know, that's always the first bit of advice. Litigation is expensive. It's very time-consuming.
It can affect your reputation, too.
And it can mm-hmm. absolutely affect your reputation because when you do file a lawsuit, it is a public record. It is out there for the public to see. But for the most part, it's probably the least – the last choice or remedy that you want to pursue because of its expense. You should try to resolve potential disputes through other means prior to resorting to litigation.
So I have this right, Dan, just to kind of recap some of this for some of the smaller businesses out there. If you're looking at litigation and moving forward with litigation, under $10,000, small claims might be the option for you for cost. Then you have mediation, which is going to be one of the least expensive ways to do that, a quicker type of situation, but not necessarily always binding. Arbitration, which is going to be a little bit more expensive, a little bit more time-consuming, but still not as much as a full-blown legal case. So there are some options out there, and I guess that's what I wanted to go on to is, as a small business owner, don't feel whichever way you get approached by this that you're kind of boxed in. There's a lot of resources out there, and they can reach out to your law firm and yourself to figure out the best way.
Well, that's correct. I mean, you might reach out to myself or somebody at my law firm and come in for a half hour, tell us about the problem, and we might be able to give you some guidance in terms of how to avoid the expensive litigation process. And Ryan, just like you said, we might suggest that we conduct a mediation with the other party, mm-hmm. Contact that person and, you know, or his or her attorney, say, are you interested in proceeding to a mediation? As a means of potentially resolving this short of a summons and complaint and a trial.
Dan, how do folks reach you?
I can be reached at 920-996-0000. That's Epiphany's phone number, generally available Monday through Friday.
And you have an email address as well?
I do. It's dhurst, H-U-R-S-T, at epiphanylaw.com, E-P-I-P-H-A-N-Y-law.com.
And you are located on the north side of Appleton, I believe.
We are. We are, if you were to take the Ballard exit and then take Evergreen, we're located at the corner of Evergreen and North Lightning Drive.
Okay, great. We're going to take our last break right now. We'll give out the phone number on the other side. Invite you to call in with a question. We'll have a few minutes to talk. You're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities 1150 WHBY. And we're back for our final segment this morning. Welcome for, or thank you for joining Biz Talk, and we welcome you here. We're talking with Dan Hurst, the head of litigation section over at Epiphany Law, about litigation. We've been defining things like mediation, litigation, arbitration, small claims court. Our number here, we have time for a couple questions if you'd like to call in, 281-1150, 281-1150, and if you're outside Appleton, 866-887-1150. Dan, we've been talking about litigation, but what is one of the objectives of litigation is to hopefully recover some damages if they're legitimate, but what if the person we're suing doesn't have the means to pay us? Doesn't that factor into our thinking a little bit, how we go forward?
Well, that's absolutely right, Tony. You wouldn't want to proceed with an expensive litigation proceeding against an uncollectible defendant. Mm-hmm. You would be throwing away good money chasing bad. And so that is one of the top considerations prior to going down the road of litigation. Because even if you get a judgment that says the defendant owes you $25,000, if he doesn't have it, it's really, for the most part, useless. Mm-hmm. You can take some actions following a judgment in your favor, such as, let's go back, a judgment against a defendant will require a defendant to initially show a showing of its assets. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes defendants do not submit those affidavits of assets, so you have to pursue them with a supplemental examination, mm-hmm. in other words, a deposition under oath to try to determine if they have assets, bank accounts, property, things of that nature. Following that, you can attempt to garnish wages, attempt to garnish bank accounts if they have any of those things. But it's much better to find out on the front end prior to spending 6 months to a year pursuing a judgment than to have gone through the whole course and to be frustrated at the end.
Quick follow-up question to that, Dan. If someone's operating as an LLC and the LLC gets sued, the individual can't be held accountable for that, can they? But there are some circumstances where they could.
Well, there are some circumstances where an individual could. An individual is always responsible for his own negligent acts. But in the event of an LLC, you would have to follow a special procedure to get at the distributions of the LLC if you did, in fact, get a judgment against an LLC.
But that doesn't lead automatically to a judgment against the person who owns the LLC, does it?
That's correct.
So that's one of the protections we talk about at SCORE, incorporate or form a corporate shield.
Right. And that's the second Simple Steps program. Yep. that we go through.
Yep. So.
And if you haven't done that, we have attorneys at Epiphany Law who can assist with setting up an LLC or similar entity. Valerie Revenue, Katie Blum, both of those attorneys could assist and would be glad to help you.
But you need to form that before you get sued. Mm-hmm. Once you're sued, it's too late. As a sole proprietor.
Correct.
Yeah, you need to do that ahead of time. Well, as is our custom, Dan, in our program, we ask our guests to leave a little pearl of wisdom, a biz tip for our listening audience. Do you have one or two you'd like to share with the audience?
Sure. And again, back to where we started, get everything in writing. Get your purchase orders in writing. Get your change orders in writing. If you keep your paperwork organized, and you have it in the event of a dispute, you're going to be looking at a much easier course for any future litigation. You can never predict what might turn into a potential dispute. What you think might be the easiest, the most simple deal could go completely sour. And so it's very important to keep meticulous paper records, despite the fact that doing so on the front end might take up some of your time. But that time will pay off at some point in the future.
Dan, we want to thank you for being our guest this morning. It was very informative.
Thank you, Dan.
Well, thank you for having me on, Tony and Ryan.
You bet. And thanks for the continued support of Epiphany Law for SCORE and for BizTalk.
You're welcome.
All right. You've been listening to BizTalk this morning on the Voice of the Fox Cities 1150 WHBY.